Hello, thank you, Dove. Yes, you mentioned Phil Frisk, and I would absolutely love to take this opportunity to extend my gratitude to Phil. Phil is the webmaster for www.forholyspirit.org, and he's also the secretary for the Foundation for the Holy Spirit. Dove is vice president also for that foundation. But let me just tell you a little bit about what Phil has done for me, because I don't know that I have ever shared this. I didn't know Phil, and I don't even remember how I came across it, but I came across his website, miraclecenter.us, and what I found there was a writing of mine that he had posted and titled called "The Ego Is Not the Devil," which is actually one of my very favorite writings that I did with Holy Spirit in February of 2005. And I was really surprised because at this time, not too many people knew about me. So I was really surprised to find that somebody had taken one of my writings and posted it on his website. Later, what I discovered was, I discovered that he was recording my teachings and posting them on his website, and I didn't know about that either. And I was pretty surprised about that. But then shortly after that, he emailed me, and he had bought the domain name www.reginadonacres.com. And he had begun posting my daily post to the Peace of God to that blog site. And he emailed me and let me know that he wanted to give that to me and teach me how to do the posting. So, ReginaDonAcres.com, which is really what we're going to be looking at tonight, was a gift, and continues to be a gift. He continues to pay for the hosting and all of that. Was a gift from Phil Frisk to me. Since then, he has completely turned it over to me. I do all the management of it. He's taught me how to do everything I need to do, so he doesn't touch it anymore. But it was a gift. If it wasn't for Phil, we wouldn't have ReginaDonAcres.com. So, I really do want to thank Phil very, very much for that gift. And it was after he gave me ReginaDonAcres.com that we got to know each other a little bit. And then, of course, got to know each other better when I was guided to start the Foundation for the Holy Spirit and specifically guided to invite both Phil and Dove to join with me there. So, thank you, Phil, and thank you, Dove, for everything that you do. Let me go ahead and type in the link to ReginaDonAcres.com because that is where we're going tonight. There you go, ReginaDonAcres.com. You can click on that link. And we are working in May of 2005. So when you get to the website, you can go to the archives on the right, look for May 2005. And then when you get to May 2005, we are beginning with May 20th, 2005. So you'll want to find the post that is dated May 20th. I believe you'll just have to scroll down on the page to find it. It's near the bottom of the page once you get to May 2005. And it's about A Course in Miracles, Lesson 354. So you will see that heading. Lesson 354, We Stand Together, Christ and I in Peace. Well, I'm just waiting for you to get there. I do want to mention that I've been working very closely with Pamela Silberman and Richard Dignan to plan the Be the Love 08 conference, which is going to be held in New Windsor, Maryland, which is about an hour from Baltimore. And we are just about ready to release our website and to start accepting registrations. Everything is going very, very well. The website is beautiful. Rev Deb Phelps designed the website for us. It is a beautiful website. We are currently testing it with registrations. Anybody who knows that they are going to go to the conference and would like to register early to help us test our registrations process to make sure it's working, you can email me if you want to at ReginaDonAcres.com, because we'd like to know who's helping us test, and then you can go to the website and register early. Once we've had about a few people register and we know the registration process is working well, then we will have the formal announcement and open it for registration for everyone. But right now, we still consider ourselves in the test phase. We have a lot of great facilitators, or speakers is the traditional word, but we're calling them facilitators because we're looking for something more interactive than the lecture process. We're looking for interactive discussions, lots of music, lots of dance, meditation. We have John Mulrooney coming, a comedian, so we expect a lot of laughter. We also have John Mundy coming. Scott Kalickstein is coming. Victoria Eisner, who is a spiritual dance leader. Resta Burnham, whom I know that you all know. Let's see, who else? Sharon Valentine is coming. I don't have the list in front of me right now, so I might be forgetting somebody. Of course, I'll be there. Pam and Richard, of course, will be there. But it's really looking like a lot of fun, so hopefully you all will be able to come. The main reason I want you to come, the main reason I want you to come is because I want to hug you, you know, and just be with you for the weekend. So selfishly, you know, I want you all to come 8-8-0-8 of next year. All right, I will assume by now that you are at Friday, May 20th, 2005 at reginadonacres.com. The name of the piece is Lesson 354, We Stand Together, Christ and I in Peace, which is a lesson from A Course in Miracles. I would like to start by giving this evening everything that we read to the Holy Spirit. And I ask the Holy Spirit to help us see whatever He would have us see, realize whatever He would have us realize, and also help us to take that deep into our hearts so that it's not just a part of our conscious learning, but it becomes a part of our being. I'd also like to remind all of you that you are a part of the flow. So if you feel any guidance to say anything or ask anything, please raise your hand and I will turn the microphone over to you. Lori, I absolutely will save a hug for you at the conference. Consider it done. It is so. All right, so I'm going to begin reading now. Question. This is my question to the Holy Spirit. Help me to get behind the words in Lesson 354. We stand together, Christ and I, in peace and certainty of purpose. And in Him is His Creator, as He is in me. And then I asked, what would you have me realize fully today? And this is the Holy Spirit's answer. Realize who you are. Realize that you are a part of all that is, not some separated aspect that is yet connected by a thread of sameness, but all that is itself. Melt into that realization today. Accept it. You know, that's a very interesting answer because it shows where my mind was, and in fact where my mind still continues to be sometimes. I switch, but definitely a lot of the time. I do not see myself as all that is itself very often. Now I have, and I do at times, but I do not very often. You know, in A Course in Miracles, it uses the language of cause and effect. But it does tell us that cause and effect are one. In NTI, it uses the language of freedom and the expression of freedom. But it tells us that we are both the freedom and the expression of freedom. And there are times that I have this sight, I guess I would say, in my mind, where I can see clearly that I am both the cause and the effect. But since we seem to live at the level of effect, I usually experience myself as effect, and we might call that as a body slash mind or body slash personality. That's how I tend to experience myself. And so I experience myself as this being, but I accept that I'm not separate from everything else. But I still am experiencing myself at the level of effect. And really what Holy Spirit is saying here is, no, you are not just effect. You are also cause. You are also all that is. You are much, much more than you are perceiving yourself to be. And that's a very big message. It's something that we can't wrap the ego mind around. But I know that there are people in the room who've had that experience of being all that is. So I know that you know from your own experience what this means. And I've also had those glimpses. So I understand now that I am not only the effect that I experience myself as, but I am also the cause of that effect. And that cause is all that is. That cause is our oneness. And this is really Holy Spirit asking me to accept this grander view of myself, which is also a grander view of all of you, because that is something that we are together. So again, Holy Spirit is saying, realize who you are. Realize that you are a part of all that is, not some separated aspect that is yet connected by a thread of sameness, but all that is itself. Melt into that realization today. Accept it. And then it looks like I was having a bad day. Look what I say. I say, how do I do that when, even now, the phone is ringing? My daughter is watching TV, waiting for breakfast and wanting to spend time with me. There is laundry to do and a house to clean. I have work to do to prepare to move, and there are other things I want to do. How do I melt into the realization of all that is when I seem to be pulled in so many directions and seem to have no choice about it? And the Holy Spirit's answer, lay your sadness aside and your guilt aside. They are obstacles to your love. My rebuttal. I know, but even if I do that, this outside world with its demands, and me with my wants, it's all still here. Holy Spirit, it is not here. Only your mind is here. You are denying your power even now. You are saying, I want to believe I'm the Son of God, but that just isn't the way it is. And Holy Spirit really captured me there. I mean, that's a ringer. That's exactly what I was saying. And Holy Spirit is just making it very clear. I was literally saying, I want to believe I'm the Son of God, but that just isn't the way it is. In other words, at this point, my mind was firmly fixed with the reality of the world, with the perceived reality of the world as reality. And so I felt like I was pretending in wanting to be the Son of God. That was the fantasy. And on this particular day, the reality was just too loud for me to play that game. So again, Holy Spirit is saying to me, you are saying, I want to believe I'm the Son of God, but that just isn't the way it is. Then Holy Spirit said, try instead to say this today and let no other thought take root in your mind. I am the Son of God. I am not the victim of the world I see. It is my world, and I will use it to love myself as God. The world has no other purpose now. Practice this today. And, you know, that was wonderful coaching for me on that particular day, because look at all the things that I listed. The phone is ringing. My daughter's watching TV and wanting breakfast and wanting to spend time with me. I have laundry to do and a house to clean. We got to get ready to move. And there's other stuff that I want to do. These are just my have-tos. There's other stuff that I want to do. You know, I was definitely feeling like everything was caving in on me and totally feeling like a victim. But Holy Spirit is helping me to shift my mind about that, literally by shifting my mind back into purpose. Because Holy Spirit says again, to say to myself, I am the Son of God. I am not the victim of the world I see. And those are helpful affirmations. But those are really still just affirmations. And if I don't believe it, and we can see on this day I did not believe it, they could literally have no effect at all. So Holy Spirit went beyond affirmations to something that was much more meaningful to me. Holy Spirit said, say today, I am the Son of God. I am not the victim of the world I see. And then the Holy Spirit continued, it is my world, and I will use it to love myself as God. The world has no other purpose now. Now, for me, That's where the shift occurred, was in those two sentences. Because what the Holy Spirit did was remind me that everything that was there right now, the phone ringing, the TV, the wanting breakfast, the laundry, the house, the move, everything that was there right now was there for only one purpose. And that was to remind me of who I am, to teach me to love myself as God. And when Holy Spirit put that purpose on everything for me, because I had not put that purpose there myself, I was feeling like a victim. When Holy Spirit put that purpose on everything for me, it shifted everything, because it shifted my mind from victim mode back into purpose. It shifted my mind back into forgiveness. And suddenly everything had a meaningful reason for me again. It was no longer everything attacking me, but everything had a meaningful reason. And the one that really was giving that reason was me. So instead of being the victim of the world I see, I became, to use language from NTI, Lord of the world I see. I became Lord because I was the one giving it its purpose. And when you become Lord of the world you see, when you realize you are the one giving it its purpose, you are that much closer to realizing you are cause. When you realize that you are the one that gives everything you see its purpose, you are one step closer to realizing that you are cause. And if we look at the beginning of this message, remember, that is what Holy Spirit was asking me to accept today. Holy Spirit was asking me to accept that I am all that is itself. Or in the language of the Course, that I am cause of the world that I see. And so by shifting everything back into purpose, the Holy Spirit took me one step closer to that realization. So the Holy Spirit is really a wonderful, wonderful teacher and knows exactly how to deal with us on a given day. And this was completely perfect for me that day. And in fact, if I remember quickly, if we scroll up, nope, I'm not remembering quickly. I was thinking that I did two writings on that day. Oh, I did. The Law of Chaos came on that day too. Sure enough. So Holy Spirit shifted me back into purpose enough that I was able to continue to focus with Holy Spirit, and I ended up doing the Law of Chaos writing next, which is a very long and very detailed writing, which we went over last week. So the shift in focus was very good for me. It shifted me from victim to purpose, and then I was able to spend more time with Holy Spirit when I had thought my day was already too crowded. So great work, Holy Spirit. Thank you. I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to share. All right, then. Let's scroll up to Sunday, May 22nd. The name of this is Mean Creek. Mean Creek. And Mean Creek is a movie, in case you're wondering where that name comes from. It's a movie. And during this phase of my awakening, in fact, again, now with Laurent, it's happening again, but during this phase in 2005 of my awakening, Holy Spirit was guiding me to watch a lot of movies. And I was getting something out of every movie. And that's happening again now. Laurent and I watch movies every couple of days, all clearly guided by Holy Spirit. And we get a lot of them, a lot out of them. but Mean Creek is a movie that I watched in May 2005. So let's just read what I wrote here. From experience gained through practice, I have learned to let the Holy Spirit... Oh, yeah. This was just... I put this on here because I had watched so many movies at this point. I thought it was a good idea to let other people know what I was doing. I hadn't been journaling my movies up until this point, but at this point I decided to start journaling them. And I was getting so much out of it that I wanted to share with others how to use movies for forgiveness or how to use movies for awakening. So this first thing that's written here in italics was just a part of the post so that people would see how useful movies are. So I said, from experience gained through practice, I have learned to let the Holy Spirit pick out the movies that I watch. It's better than picking them out myself. I used to roam around the video store for 20 to 30 minutes reading DVD covers and making judgments about what I wanted to watch. It's funny. Although I sometimes brought home movies that were really meaningful to me, I also brought home a lot of movies that weren't. Now, I say a prayer before walking into the video store. I ask the Holy Spirit to guide me to the movie that would be most helpful for me. Then, as I walk into the store, I listen to my intuition for which way to turn and which movie to grab. It takes about 2 minutes to walk in and grab a DVD using this method, and every DVD selected by the Holy Spirit has been meaningful and enjoyable. And I've seen a lot of movies that I wouldn't have selected using my own judgment. And then I said, last night I watched Mean Creek. This is a conversation that I had with Holy Spirit about that movie after watching it. So you can see how I totally switched the way I picked out movies. I literally would walk into the, say a prayer, walk into the video store, and then I could literally feel whether to turn right or left, which direction to walk. I would walk right over to an aisle, and then literally the first movie that my eyes landed on, I would take with no judgment whatsoever. And this is how I was watching movies with the Holy Spirit. And every single movie was perfect. Every single movie was perfect. And so it was a guided way of watching movies. And if anybody hasn't tried that yet, you might try it. It was absolutely wonderful. But this is the movie Mean Creek, the discussion I had with the Holy Spirit after watching it. So the question, what would you have me realize after watching Mean Creek? Answer, you are innocent. You are the innocent child of God, and you are love. It is only your imagined guilt that keeps you hiding from me. You guys will have to go watch Mean Creek to get this. So everybody needs to go watch Mean Creek this weekend. I'm remembering the movie a little bit. It seems like I don't have a great memory. Anybody who knows me knows I do not have a great memory. But what I seem to remember is there were a bunch of kids and there was a fat boy. They didn't like the fat boy. And they decided to play a trick on the fat boy. So they all went out on a boat one day pretending to be nice to this boy. And I don't think it's just that he was fat. I think he was also rude. I think it was the combination of fat and rude. But they took him out on a boat one day and they were going to play a trick on him. But something went wrong and he died. And so they buried him and did not tell anybody about the accident, and they hid from the fact that they had killed him, or accidentally killed him. And, of course, there was lots and lots and lots of guilt. Yeah, Glory 777 is saying, I remember that movie. He was a bully. Yeah, he was fat and mean, right? He was both. But they accidentally killed him, which they didn't plan on doing it, but then they hid it, and so then everybody thought it was just a missing kid. At the end of the movie, they do decide that they need to go and confess, and they go and they knock on the door of his parents, and they tell what they did. So not a lot of detail there, but that's the general story of the movie. You might want to go watch it. It's a good movie. But now that you know the story, let's go back to the Holy Spirit's answer. You are innocent. You are the innocent child of God, and you are love. It is only your imagined guilt that keeps you hiding from me. Release your guilt that you may see me standing here, waiting to welcome you. Let yourself be free. I love that. Let yourself be free. Bring your guilt to me, and I will show you it is nothing, for it is nothing, and you are loved as you are. Transcend your fear and bring your guilt to me. And this is what the children ended up having to do, of course. They had to transcend their fear of confessing to what happened, especially after now everybody thinks the boy is missing and these children have never been suspected. They have to transcend their fear to go to the parents and tell the parents what they have done. Transcend your fear and bring your guilt to me. And then notice he says, the light will shine on you and in you, and you will be blessed in your innocence. And what happened in the movie was there was a very bright porch light shining on the children as they were confessing. It was very, very symbolic, the light shining down on them. So then my question, why don't I know that I'm innocent? Because, of course, you know, it's funny. I suppose I've done in the world some things that we would call bad things, you know. I suppose I've done some, quote, bad things in the world. But the truth is, in my lifetime in this world, I haven't overly judged myself for the things that I've done. Isn't that interesting? I've had a pretty innocent life. I'm not overly innocent. I mean, I did do drugs, But I actually never judged myself for doing drugs. I felt like I never hurt anyone. I never actually even hurt myself. I stopped in time. I was just having fun. I did a lot of drinking after that, but I never really judged myself for my drinking. I never really hurt anyone. I was just having fun. I stopped when it was time to stop. You know, so I've done things that maybe my dad and my mom would say were bad. But I've honestly never really judged myself for the things I've done. I've always been pretty okay with who I am. So the funny thing is, the real question is, if I've always been pretty okay with who I am, then why do I feel so damn guilty? I mean, it doesn't even make sense, because there is a lot of guilt in me, and yet I look at my life and say, but I've never done anything bad. Of course, we know now that it's because of the metaphysical guilt. But this is where this question is coming from. Why don't I know that I'm innocent? Because at some level, I look at my life and I see no excuse for the guilt, right? No excuse whatsoever. So here's the Holy Spirit's answer. Your desire to be special keeps you from knowing who you are, because you do not wish to see it. It does not change who you are. You cannot be special or separate from the Son of God. That is your reality. And so I said, my desire to be special. So what is the Course really trying to teach me about special relationships? Somehow, when he talked about my desire to be special, the idea of special relationships came into my mind, and I suddenly started to feel within me that special relationships were broader than the way I had viewed them before. I would have viewed my relationship with Jasmine, for example, to be a special relationship. I would have viewed my relationship with Ron to be a special relationship. But I was starting to think, maybe there's more to the special relationship thing than I'm getting. So that's why I asked the question. What is the Course really trying to teach me about special relationships? And the Holy Spirit said, your special relationship is with yourself. For there can be no other relationship, since there is no other. You have felt guilty for wanting specialness for yourself. So you projected it outside of yourself and pretended to have relationships with others. Yet, the specialness is still in your mind as desire and guilt, though neither is a fact, since you can only be what you are. And then the Holy Spirit continues, let go of the desire for specialness. It is a desire that can only seem to be addressed in dreams. So you lose nothing when you let it go, yet you gain everything because you gain the truth of who you are. My next question, why do I experience intense fear in this process? The answer, you experience intense fear because you believe your guilt, because you believe your desire has created sin. But sin cannot be created. Creation is eternal. Sin is separate from holiness and apart from God's will. Here I go. But I do feel like I have a will separate from God's. So now I'm really getting to the core of my guilt. It's funny, because a couple of questions above, I'm like, so why do I feel so guilty? Because I've never really done anything that I think is wrong. You know, I've just been having fun, but I've never hurt anyone. I've never even really hurt myself. So why do I feel so guilty? After a couple paragraphs of discussion with Holy Spirit, I'm getting right now to why I feel so guilty. Because look at what I'm saying. But I do feel like I have a will that's separate from God's. Boom. Right there, that's where the guilt is coming from. Right there, now I'm looking at it. It has nothing to do with anything I've done in my lifetime per se. It really has to do with the fact that I believe I have a will that is separate from God's. It has to do with the fact that I believe I'm independent. I believe there's a God who's separate from me, who wants one thing from me, while I am choosing to do another. And that's why I feel guilty. I mean, boom, I'm right there. I went from thinking, but I'm innocent, so why do I feel guilty, to having a very clear view of exactly why I feel guilty. Holy Spirit says, you are not apart from God's will. God's will is within you. It is a part of you. You are only having a temporary fantasy of a separate will, but this fantasy will not last. When the desire for specialness ends, the fantasy will end by your own choice. It will simply be no more. And, you know, this is really interesting because Holy Spirit gave me a message yesterday, which I posted. I posted two messages that Holy Spirit gave us on the same day, two different messages. They're kind of companion messages, but they address different parts of the mind. And the second message that the Holy Spirit gave me, well, both messages were very deep, to be honest. Both messages were very deep. The second message that the Holy Spirit gave me, however, was what I would call completely uncompromising on the idea of oneness. The second message that the Holy Spirit gave me taught that there is nothing but a flow, and this is true, that there is nothing but a flow. There is no separate individual. There is only the flow, and that this effect that I experience myself as, the one we call Regina, is in no way at all independent of the flow, so that whoever I am, whatever I am, as the effect in any given moment, is based on the decisions that we all make about what we want me to be. Now, this is using the language of the illusion. If we lift it up a level, then really what we're saying is one mind is making all of the decisions. But the Holy Spirit gave the message at the level of the illusion. The Holy Spirit said that what I am in every single moment is what my brothers want me to be. This is, you know, all of the thoughts that are in our minds, all of the thoughts that we accept go together, because we are cause, go together to create the effect, and I, as I experience myself, am a part of that effect. And it is a flow, and I am in no way separate from the flow. And what the Holy Spirit was telling me in yesterday's message is that whenever I judge myself, whenever I judge my actions, what I am really doing is telling my brothers that their creation is not perfect, that their creation is not beautiful, because what I am at the level of effect is the creation of cause, which would be me and my brothers put together. And so Holy Spirit was using this, because Holy Spirit knows how much I love you all. Holy Spirit is very, very clear that my love for you comes easily. You know, where I am more challenged is in the love of self, the love of the effect that we call Regina. But my love for you comes very, very easily. So what Holy Spirit was doing was using my love for you to teach me to look at me differently so that I could also love myself. And so Holy Spirit was saying, whatever I am in any moment, whatever I am in any moment, whatever I am doing, whatever I seem to be, that is the gift of my brothers. My brothers have chosen that. And if I judge that, I'm then telling my brothers that their creation is not good. And this was a very, very good message for me. It really spoke to my mind. And in fact, I have been judging myself significantly less today because I'm looking at myself as your creation. And I do not want to hurt you by judging me. Very good logic for my mind. But really, what this is saying, this answer is saying the same thing when it says, you are not apart from God's will. I cannot be apart from God's will because I cannot be apart from that flow. I cannot be apart from you. You cannot be apart from me. Everything that we are doing together, all of the thoughts that we are accepting into our mind are creating that flow. And every aspect of effect is then a part of that flow. That separation is so incredibly impossible. It is absolutely impossible. And this is what the Holy Spirit is saying. He's saying the idea that I am separate, the idea that I am independent, is literally just a fantasy. And I only hold on to that fantasy because I want to believe it. It's that simple. I only hold on to that fantasy because I want to believe it. Or in the language of the Course, I want to be special. But as soon as I don't want to believe it anymore, nothing even has to change. Nothing even has to change. It's just a shift of seeing in the mind. I suddenly see that I am just a part of the flow. And I love that. I love that. And this is how the Holy Spirit is teaching me that to love self, or to love the effect that we call Regina, by teaching me that I am a part of the flow, and teaching me to love the flow, teaching me to love all that is, teaching me to love our truth. Steve, please take the mic.
Hi, Regina. Thank you. I think I heard it. I'm pretty sure you can hear me, right? If you just type in a Y or something like that. I think I heard a very similar thing. Thank you, Regina. Very similar thing in a course I was taking. I haven't read the corresponding text in the Course in Miracles yet, but it was like, in wanting specialness, we wanted to have more than everything, and God couldn't give us that, so we had to make our own dream. And by making our own dream, instead of getting more than everything, we ended up with nothing. I think that's what I was getting a little bit of what you were saying. You know, it's like, in order to want that specialness, and we felt guilty for wanting the specialness, and I think that's what I'm hearing you talking about in this section here. But we wanted to be special in that we wanted to have more than everything, and then God couldn't give that to us. We ended up with nothing. So I think what I was hearing you say was very similar to that. So thanks for letting me share. I see Bill's hand up. That's kind of what I was remembering or seeing similarities in. So thank you. So in order to have more than everything, we had to go into the dream, and we ended up with nothing because it was just a dream. We left our oneness, you know, and with God to be in the dream and stuff like that. So thank you for letting me share. Here's the mic back.
Yeah, Bill, please go ahead and take the mic.
Thank you, Regina. I appreciate it. Can you hear me? Do I have a voice? My mic hasn't been working. Good? Okay. That's very interesting. When you started reading, my desire to be special, so what is the Course really trying to teach me about special relationships? As soon as you said your special relationship is with yourself, this volcano came up in me, and it's still there. And it's just amazing how that is, that reading that is erupting in me. So I want to thank you for illuminating that so that I can work on it. Man, I'm sweating. It's just amazing what is happening to me from being part of this flow, as you call it. And wow, I'm almost even shaking a little bit. So thanks a lot. I'll give you the mic back, and thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, you know, yesterday when I received that message from the Holy Spirit, you know, teaching me, of course, that I am a part of the flow, that what I am is your creation. Of course, that's my creation too, but again, the Holy Spirit was taking advantage of my love for you, so he focused on the fact that I am your creation. My first reaction, I'm always fine when I'm listening, or almost always fine when I'm listening to Holy Spirit. I shouldn't say always. But my reaction after I finished listening to Holy Spirit was fear. A lot of fear came up in me. And that, of course, is because the ego does want very much to believe that it's independent and separate. More than anything. You know, that is the specialness. That is the special relationship with ourself, believing that we are independent and separate. And, you know, the message yesterday was so clear. And, of course, when I write these messages, you know, I also feel them, see them, know them. So when I was receiving that message, it was so clear that that's an impossibility. That the only reaction that could be had after that, if there was any resistance at all, was fear. So a lot of fear came up in me. But I've been setting with the message now for more than 24 hours. And as I've said, today I have been loving myself more. Loving myself more because I love you, and I want to teach you that your creation is beautiful. And so I'm not judging your creation, that which I call me. It's really very cool how the Holy Spirit can connect with our minds sometimes. Bill, please take the mic.
Yeah, it is very cool, and it's very cool and synchronistic. I got that post off of the sent to my email address off of the bulletin board. That as soon as you posted it, and I looked at it, and Holy Spirit told me not to pay attention to it right then, because I would have just kind of breezed through it like you do, you know, 20 or 30 other emails. But I paid special attention to it, and I didn't get the things come up in different things. What came up in the volcano tonight is nothing, and it's really totally different from what came up from your post yesterday. But what also came up for me yesterday was when you started talking about the flow. There is only the flow, and then by choosing the flow as you are, you choose to teach your brothers that their creation is beautiful. When you started going into that, and then after I read that post, and I came back in the room, the first time I mentioned to a brother who was posting on the board, a sister, that she was beautiful, suddenly, or something was this or that, suddenly the awareness of judgment and separation that I was seeing and saying online came to my awareness, that even when I say Dortha, that was beautiful, or Dove, that was beautiful, I am actually saying that something else isn't beautiful. And how do we reconcile that? Can you give me your comments on that? Thanks a lot for letting me share.
Yeah, what was really cool about that message yesterday was the Holy Spirit did use the word beautiful, and used the word beautiful in two different ways. At the beginning of the message, Holy Spirit talked about unworthiness and beauty, or beautiful, as two sides of the same judgment coin. So Holy Spirit said, of course, you know, when I judge myself as unworthy, you know, I'm not going to feel good. But if I judge something about me or something about someone else as beautiful, if I judge it as beautiful, I've opened the door for an unworthiness judgment as well. So judgment is judgment. But then Holy Spirit went on to use beautiful in a completely different way, in a way without judgment, because Holy Spirit said that when I accept the flow, when I want to be only the flow, if that's all I want is to be only the flow, just be what I am in the moment, accept what I am in the moment, accept that the moment is always perfect, if I only want to be the flow, that I teach my brothers that their creation is beautiful without judgment or duality. So Holy Spirit used the word beautiful in two different ways. One, beautiful as the result of judgment, and the other, beautiful as the result of acceptance. So the word beautiful itself was not, quote, the problem. Was the beauty a reaction to judgment, which left the door open for not beautiful? Or was the beauty just pure acceptance of everything as it is right now? And when the beauty is pure acceptance of everything as it is right now, that is not judgment. That is how the Holy Spirit sees. Because again, A Course in Miracles tells us that everything is neutral. But as I've told you all before, that is only a stepping stone. Because trust me, I have seen with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't see anything as neutral. Nothing. The Holy Spirit sees everything as absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Everything. And I know I've shared with you all, Bill, you've probably missed this because you're kind of new in my life, but I'll have to tell you the story on the phone. I'm not going to retell the story for everyone who's heard it 10 times. But I know that many of you know about the time that the Holy Spirit put me in that gratitude experience where I was seeing war, through the Holy Spirit's eyes, and to me, it was beautiful. It was beautiful because it was the perfect expression of freedom. It showed that we are not limited in any way. We can do anything we want to do with our minds, including war. And through the Holy Spirit's eyes, it was a beautiful expression of freedom. So the Holy Spirit sees beauty in everything. But that beauty has no judgment to it. So hopefully that answered your question, Bill. And if you all haven't looked at yesterday's messages yet, there are two of them. Very, very deep. They aim very deep in the mind. They take, I think, at least 24 hours for them to sink in, and that's if you're really working on them. They are not quick reads. They are not at all intended for quick reads. And I'm sure I'll be teaching them on October 6th, which is the first Saturday in October. So we'll talk more about them then. So, back to this message that I'm currently reading. I said that I do feel like I have a will that's separate from God's and realize that is why I feel guilty, you know. And then Holy Spirit tells me that I do not have a will that is separate from God's. That is only a fantasy, and it is a fantasy that cannot last. And he says that God's will is within me. So my next question is, if God's will is in me, then the desire for truth is in me. I get that. If God's will is in me, the desire to know truth must be in me too. And then, so then I ask, do I really need to cultivate that desire? If it's in me, do I need to cultivate it? And the Holy Spirit's answer is yes. You must cultivate that desire because it is the draw of your true desire that will lead you to give up the false one. And, you know, my mind, when I asked that question, I was thinking about teachings that say things like, there is an appointed time for you to awaken, and you will wake up then. You know, we've all heard these teachings. And so my thought was, well, if God's will is in me, then that means the desire for truth is in me. And I started remembering those teachings that say, I'll wake up at the appointed time. And I thought, well, shit then, I don't need to do anything. You know, I can just do whatever I want to do, right? Do whatever I want to do, and someday I'll just wake up. And the Holy Spirit is saying, that's not true. Now, this is where it gets really tricky. The Holy Spirit is saying, that's not true. Yeah, Jasmine said, shit is my word for the day. Apparently, I've been saying shit a lot today, Cliff. She's laughing because I never say it, but today it's come out of my mouth a lot. So, don't know what that's about, but since I'm your beautiful creation, it's a perfect word. Anyway, the Holy Spirit is saying that's not true. And when the Holy Spirit says that's not true, this is where we don't want to get confused. The Holy Spirit is not speaking to the effect. The Holy Spirit has now switched and is speaking to cause. Remember, we are both cause and effect. It is effect that is a part of the flow. But cause is where the flow comes from. And when I said, do I really need to cultivate this desire? Holy Spirit immediately switched from talking to the effect to talking directly to the cause, knowing that nothing will come about without the cause making the decision or without the cause having the desire for it to come about. So Holy Spirit spoke directly to the cause and said, you must cultivate that desire. And that is absolutely true. And this is where we get so confused with teachings. It's that dang level confusion thing. It's that dang level confusion thing. At the level of effect, I am in the flow. At the level of cause, I create the flow. And I am both. I am both cause and I experience at the level of effect. So when Holy Spirit speaks to us, Holy Spirit literally speaks to both levels. It's the same as true in the Course, the same as true as NTI, the same is true in all of these writings that I do with Holy Spirit. But when I ask the question about cultivating desire, that desire must be cultivated at the level of cause because nothing will come about without cause having the desire. And so Holy Spirit answered yes. Now, define cultivate. Well, Bill, you cultivate all day and all night every day. Cultivate is to focus the mind on. Cultivate is to desire and let grow. Cultivate is to nurse our willingness until it grows into full-blown will. So what Holy Spirit is saying is, yes, cause, you must focus your mind on the desire to awaken. You must. If you want to awaken, You must focus your mind on that desire. So at the level of effect, we will wake up when we wake up. At the level of effect, we will wake up when the script says that we wake up. But at the level of cause, we are the one writing the script. And we cannot separate ourselves and say that I am just effect or I am just cause, because there is no separation. I am cause, and I experience myself as effect. So it's a very interesting message from Holy Spirit, but it's really telling us that there is no separation, and that the reason we feel guilty is because we believe there is, but that's just simply not true. And we know that this is the message of A Course in Miracles. We know this is the message of NTI. This is the message of A Way in Mastery. And at some point, what we really need to do is accept this message, and we need to allow ourselves to be both, in this dream, cause and effect, which means we need to watch the mind. That's what cause does. Accept only the thoughts of the Holy Spirit. That's what cause does when its desire is to awaken. And yet accept everything that we seem to be and everything we seem to do, because that's what effect does. Effect does what the script tells it to do. So it's all of that put together. It's all of that put together, because we are cause experiencing ourselves as effect, and those cannot be separated. I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to share or ask. All right, then. So we got all of that out of a discussion about Mean Creek. It was a very worthy discussion, because what I got out of that discussion is I saw, even though I haven't killed any fat bullies, I saw exactly why I felt guilty. I feel guilty because I think I'm separate from God. And then the Holy Spirit began to point my mind in the direction of, but that is absolutely not true. And as you can tell, the Holy Spirit is still teaching me that lesson. But the lessons are getting much, much deeper, aiming much, much deeper in the mind than they were in May of 2005. Yeah, Bill, please take the mic.
Yeah, thank you. Regina, I just want to encourage the room to, when they, you have to filter some of the postings on the bulletin board, but it seems to me that Holy Spirit, you know, we're in a purging and a purification process right now, and it seems to me, at least for me, and I think if it's for me, then it's and since that me is all of you, and we are we, and then it seems to me, for me, the postings can be very much a part of the exact perfectness of Holy Spirit's undoing of the sonship. And when I see postings, things sort of that mean something for someone else, they can really be unlocking little doors for me and bringing things up and helping me just immensely, as those two postings that I wasn't expecting yesterday, and even something that Ben Gilberti wrote back in the postings was helpful today. I just want to encourage the sonship to look at those and do it quietly and in a place where they can just really join with Holy Spirit in doing that, because it was so meaningful and powerful for me today that I really felt, I mean, I really felt empowered with real Son of God and light power as a result of those teachings. So I just want to encourage everyone with that. Thank you for letting me share.
Yeah, and I'm just going to jump on your bandwagon there, Bill, because, you know, we talked about the second message, which is the one that was teaching me that I am the flow, that I'm in no way independent. What we didn't mention at all was the first message, which I know you're kind of alluding to now when you talk about the light power. But the first message was incredible as well. The first message teaches us how when we are under what I call an ego attack, when, you know, we're under an ego attack, we are absolutely suffering from what seems to be going on in our mind and from the feelings within our emotional body. You know, it could be fear, it could be guilt, it could be unworthiness, it could be anger, it could be hatred, it could be anything, but we're really suffering from it. That first message teaches us to see that the power in that emotion is light. And what it teaches us to do is to take our eyes off of the thin, dark veil and to focus our eyes on the power and to realize it is light. And it's an incredible, incredible practice. I mean, when you do that, you know, when you're focused on the thin, dark veil around the power, the idea that this is fear, the idea that this is hatred, and you focus on that, you go into this spiral downward. We've all done that. We know what that feels like, and it just gets worse and worse and worse, and pretty soon we're really suffering. But when Holy Spirit helps us through this message to shift our mind to just the power and to realize that that power is light and to focus on that, this light explodes within us. It's very hard to describe until you've done it, but this light explodes within us, and instead of a spiral downward, we begin this great, great spiral upward. It is an incredible release from the ego. And again, we'll teach that. I think Laurent and I may teach that together possibly on October 6th, but at least I will teach that. And we'll talk a lot more about what I saw, because when I wrote that message, there were a lot of images explaining the message to me. But it is definitely a message that is not a quick read, as Bill is saying. This is a message that needs to be read and meditated on, you know, for at least 24 hours, if not longer. But it will absolutely set you free. It will absolutely set you free if you can learn to make that shift when you are under an ego attack. It will absolutely set you free. So, yeah, Bill, thank you very much for mentioning those two. Those two messages yesterday were incredible. Both of them, very, very, they aim very deep in the mind, but they are absolutely incredible, and I'm still spending time with both of them. And by October 6th, hopefully, they'll be so deep within me that I'll find it very easy to teach them. Right now, I think I would still be stammering a little bit. I probably am still stammering a little bit because I'm still taking them in. All right. I guess we'll stop here. So next week, we will start with You Must Be One With God. Oh, not next week. I'm every 2 weeks now. In 2 weeks, we'll start with You Must Be One With God, which was posted on Monday, May 23rd. The next time that I'm back in Pal Talk is going to be Friday from 2 to 3 in the afternoon, and that will be for the NTI discussion group, and we are currently in the Book of Romans. I want to just take a moment, since I have 2 minutes left, I want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate every one of you. I mean, just every one of you. You know, Bill was talking about how these postings, which seems to be for someone else, will often be for us. I find that in your posts. I find so often that our posts are in sync. It's very clear that Holy Spirit is teaching us all together as one. Those of us who join together here in ACIM Gather, those of us who join together on the NTI discussion group, we are joined together in these places because we are mighty companions. There's no accidents here. We are mighty companions, and we are very close to being on the same step at the same time. And so Holy Spirit is working with all of us together. And this is why my posts are meaningful to you, and your posts are meaningful to me. We are truly, truly, truly mighty companions waking up together. And I am very aware of that. So I just wanted to take this extra couple of minutes to tell you that I know that, to tell you that I love you. You know, just to say thank you from the absolute bottom of my heart. I do know that we're waking each other up, and I greatly appreciate it. So I'll see you on Friday. I love you. And, oops, Steve and Laura, you want the mic? I'll turn it over to you, and then I'll come back and say goodnight.
Yeah, thank you, Regina. I was just going to read something I got. I kind of tried paraphrasing it once, but I didn't have the whole thing, and I got it from a friend of mine last Wednesday. It's called The Hopi Prophecy. That kind of, she said, describes the situation we seem to be in when we're doing our healing now. And it says, to my fellow swimmers, it says, there is a river flowing very fast. Now very fast. It is so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid. They will try to hold on to the shore. They are being torn apart, and they will suffer greatly. Know that the river has a destination. The elders say that we must let go of the shore. It says, push off into the middle of the river and keep our heads above the water. And I say, see who is there with you and celebrate. This is a time in the history where we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment we do, our spiritual growth and journey come to a halt. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves, banish the word struggle from your attitude and vocabulary, and all that we do now must be done in the sacred manner and in celebrations. We are the ones we've been waiting for. To me, that kind of reinforces the idea of, like, where it says in Shante Cristo, like, embrace the dream, and like you've been talking about NTI, where it says, like, fully experience the dream and do not resist, you know? To me, that was kind of helpful. It seemed to reinforce a lot of what I was hearing in different things, and it was kind of neat. So thank you for letting me share that, and thanks for your sharing, Bill, and everybody else typing in. Here's the mic back.
Yeah, Stephen, that line that you read that said, take nothing personally, least of all ourselves, that really reminded me of the teaching that I am the flow. Because when I'm taking something about myself personally, I'm believing I'm an independent and separate being, and that, you know, all by myself, I made these decisions and these choices. And at the level of effect, Holy Spirit is saying that is no way true. That what I am at the level of effect is our creation. What I am in every moment is what all of you want me to be. So, you know, I really can't take it personally. And again, I'm being asked to just to want to be the flow, just to love the flow. Bill, please take the mic.
Yeah, you know, the word or the use that you're using of the flow, I think is really important. I think it's really important for the room to recognize the importance of the flow, because there's two things going on in the room from my observation, and that is there's lessons going on all day long, as we saw the other day in the teaching, where there was absolutely a healing that was that the Holy Spirit had in mind for the room. And then there's other times in the room where healing can take place by joining and lifting the room up, by joining and inviting the Holy Spirit or Jesus to bring us together as a one ship. And because I noticed the way you do, week before last, I noticed the way that you asked to, when you first mentioned the word flow, I went, flow. And then you asked that we all join together, and you mentioned that we were part of the flow. And I don't know if it was last week or in one of your archives, because I actually have been downloading a lot of your archives to my iPod, and I'm listening to you as I drive around during the day. I either, you know, I kind of, I'm trying to catch up on some of your back archives. So somewhere in there, you started talking about flow, and I noticed that that when we join together and ask the Holy Spirit to join us, and we really start expressing the love of who we really are in the oneship of the sonship, and the love of the sonship, and just encompassing the everything and the all that we are, and not only those of us, those that are in the room, but those that are around the globe and across the skies and the cosmos and wherever the sonship lies right now. There's a real cool, I mean, I found a verse in the course on page 81 where it's so appropriate to what you were doing, and it says on page 81, chapter 5, paragraph Roman numeral 4, 1, 10, and 11, it says the ego cannot prevail against the kingdom because the sonship is united. In the presence of those who hear the Holy Spirit's call to be as one, the ego fades away and is undone. And when right after I first noticed that you did that, I found that just being prompted by the Holy Spirit, and there's so much power involved in the uniting of the room for the entire sonship, and the love and the gratitude and the peace and the quiet awareness of the healing that is able to take place is the other side of the same coin. You have healing and you have lifting up and encouragement at the same time. So I really appreciate the example and the idea that you have extended into the room in having us join as one. Thanks for letting me share. I'll give you the mic back.
Thanks, and we've run a little bit over. I'm not sure who follows me, but I just want to, you know, give my apologies. Of course, I have to confess their apologies without judgment. With all of this discussion about the flow, you know, I'm just having to accept and trust everything. So, but whoever, I apologize anyway. And that's it. I'm out of here, and I'll be back on Friday. Good night.